It's 4:44, time for this week's Message in the Bottle. Brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan in the house with us. Happy New Year, sir.
Happy New Year.
Woo!
It's off to a decent start.
Today's going great, thank you.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I've had to do that really, like, threw me for a loop was I wrestled with my wireless router for about an hour and a half.
Well, that's always fun.
Well, I figured, like, it, you know, the year changed and all of a sudden some electronic had to give, and so I did that. That was cool. But it was like my alone time at the house. Like, you know, my kids were away for New Year's, and my wife and I had a lovely New Year's alone together. Saw the Last Jedi,
which I understand you were not that impressed with.
At the risk of inviting a lot of internet hate, no, I was not that impressed with it. I felt I felt cheapened. Mm. Felt cheapened. I think Disney is. Disney is Disney.
Oh.
And, you know, I get that. I've always known it. Here's my thing that has no spoilers or anything. I was a big reader back when I had time to be a reader, right?
Sure.
I loved reading. And there's an old Bill Hicks riff about that. But there was a trio of books written by a guy named Anthony Zahn, which were the ostensible 7, 8, and 9. And they were like certified by the estate and blah, 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 blah. And there's so... It was authentic, and they were really good, and they had a different plot line than the current one. So it's not giving away anything, but it was interesting and it was different, and it was certainly filmable, and it couldn't be accused of you know what the current iterations are being accused of. And though I agree that the current movies are better than 1, 2, and 3, at least 1, 2, and 3 were not rehashes of 4, 5, and 6. Mm. So. This is all I have to say. And plus, Liam Neeson, you know.
Well, yes.
He's so handsome. No, anyway. All right. So, my private time was interrupted because my wife was teaching yoga and my kids were away and I had to wrestle with the internet router. And
that's no fun.
That's called being a dad, because I knew as soon as my kids came home, they would need the internet somehow.
Yeah.
Actually, the internet's been blessed. Like, thank goodness for the internet and dance parties, because, of course, all of us with children have had our children indoors this past week. And yes, of course, all of us have thrown them out from time to time, but we acquiesce because we understand that they're freezing their cute little cheeks off. But basically, dance parties have mm-hmm. saved my sanity, because it's gotten at least a little bit of their energy out.
We got a couple of Amazon Echoes.
Oh, did you?
And the little guy is already commandeered.
Now, is that
so he can dance?
So is that the world that they're listening to you now? Is
yes.
that the Amazon
yes,
version of their yeah. the Big Brother?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Let me know how that goes, because it scares me.
Well, my thought on that is everybody knows.
I know.
Everybody's connected.
I agree.
They know what's going on.
They know.
We're not at the high tech stage of getting on my phone and going, Alexa, could you start the roast?
Yeah.
I don't want to get to that stage yet, but you know, Alexa, can you play such and such a song? And
oh, yeah.
Yes.
And quiet my son down. Yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah. What's the weather forecast? What's the latest? What's the latest news?
Yeah. And as you say, they know already. If they want to know, they know. And I'm not that interesting, so why would they care?
Right. I have no secrets.
So anyway, back to the wine biz, which is... Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh.
I just slipped.
Okay.
And I kicked the entire radio station. Yeah. I think I knocked the entire radio station about an inch just then.
Nice.
Apologies. So yeah, we're getting out of 2017 and into 2018. And so I want to talk about, you know, as I always do sort of on this first show... sort of about the wine trends that are happening now and what we can look forward to in 2018, and just kind of some funny things and some cool things, some cool ideas. But I wanted to look back on something that happened in 2017 that was very important that we mentioned at the time, but it just makes me giggle at this point. Again, looking back. So in 2017 in the US, we had the first, federal, crime, of, you know, involving wine in the United States, right? In other countries, France, Italy, like, you know, in France, my God, if you, you know, did something to wine, you'd lose your head, things like this. But in the U.S. in 2017, a guy named Rudy Kerniawan was indicted for bringing, he was famous for having the world's best wine collection and dealing in, you know, these rarefied bottles that cost, you know, the price of Oldsmobiles. And he brought them to auction, you know, at some of the world's great auction houses, and all these collectors bought them. And the problem was that they weren't so much real, which is, you know, a problem. And provenance, as we've talked about, provenance is a problem. And I always tell people, when you're acquiring old bottles, do try to figure out who's doing what. But for instance, this is one where you just really want to do your homework, right? But this kills me. One of the charges against him was for selling six bottles of Domain Georges Rumier Bonmar 1923 for $95,000. Problem is that Domain Georges Rumier did not produce wine prior to 1924.
Oops.
And of course, the current owner of that estate testified to that in court, and Rudy was like, "Oops," as you said. And here's another one.
I am busted.
Just for all you aspiring wine criminals, if you're gonna do something like this whole counterfeiting thing. This is what happened to Rudy, and I would advise you, this is not the course you take, right? When agents searched his house, they found inexpensive Napa wines with notes indicating that they would be passed off as older vintages of Bordeaux. Ooh. Corks, stamps, labels, and other tools involved in counterfeiting wine. So if you're counterfeiting wine and you have Post-it notes, resist the urge to use those Post-it notes to label your cheap bottles of Two-Buck Chuck that are going to... Man, that's good.
A literal paper trail.
It amazes even me. Cool. So anyway, that's a look back at something important in 2017 that, kind of thinking back on it, you might have seen it coming. So some interesting things, speaking of California and prosecution and things like that, what are things that are going on and are going to be coming up in 2018? Well, of course, we did have, and do still, of course, but had the big fires in California. And so... experts are predicting that there's going to be a big, you know, supportive push. Of course, what people don't realize is really a lot of the wines that got ruined are very expensive bottles. So those who wish to be supportive, save your pennies. But they'll appreciate it anyway. It's very cool. But by and large, just to clarify that one, there's plenty of wine left in California, and they'll be happy to sell it to you at a premium. This one I found very interesting. Because there's a big push towards vegetarian diets, or at least less meat on your plate and more vegetables or other things to fill your belly, and this is great just in general, there's a push towards more food-friendly and indeed vegetable-friendly wines. Now, a lot of great reds especially, including the one that we'll talk about today, made out of a grape called Mencia, but Cabernet Franc, Cabernet Sauvignon sometimes, other wines, they have sort of a green character sometimes, bell pepper or other herbs, things like that. And what a wonderful time for that to kind of come into character. You know, it's not something you're trying to pair up against a big hunk of beef, but vegetarian dishes that don't include that sort of thing. And so that's kind of cool. So we'll be talking about, you know, this wine today, Mencia, which is made out, you know, Mencia is a lighter red grape. The grape Gamay, which is in Beaujolais, and other really cool wines was mentioned again in this particular article. So anyway, just something to look out for, that if you have friends who are vegetarian, or you're just trying to do, you know, meatless Mondays, or just, you know, looking for options where you're not putting a big hunk of meat on your plate, maybe look for a lighter wine, and certainly your friendly local wine merchant can help you with that. Another trend: indigenous varieties and real wines, looking for wines that are, and again, this is another reason we're going to be drinking this. This is a Spanish grape, Mencia, that is from northwestern Spain. A very cool, real wine made from a grape that most people haven't had. And I think there's a lot of interest in wines that people haven't had. Sticking with that theme, Eastern European wines are starting to come on strong. I'm definitely getting a lot more requests for wines from Hungary, from Georgia, from Croatia, and indeed, we're starting to see some. It's sporadic, but definitely, if you're interested in something like that, check out your local wine merchant, check out some literature about it. Things like that are coming, because there's a lot of early winemaking that's still kind of happening there. A lot of use of amphoras and things like that that is now, you know, taking hold in some of the hipster places here in America and in France and other things like that. But there, it's just how they make wine. So kind of interesting things there. Also Chilean wines because their value and also because it's very interesting terroir. And of course, Spanish wines. And again, we're drinking a Spanish wine today. And I love this one, the return of the uncool classic. So big name California cabs, real champagne from bigger houses, Moët, Veuve, Perrier. So kind of interesting that people think those are going to be coming back. But, you know, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes old culinary classics come back into style just because you want to be gluttonous. And that's cool.
That's okay.
It's okay. And also breaking rules, right? Like rosé in winter, bubbles with food, which I've been an advocate of forever because it's like you like beer with bubbles with food. Try bubbles that are made out of fermented grapes. They're still bubbles and they're still refreshing and delicious. So kind of cool stuff and just things to think about as you're thinking about drinking in the new year. Next week. we're going to talk about some common misconceptions about wine. Kind of, you know, we're starting again, as it were, you know, it's the new year. So we always kind of go over how to learn about wine. And then in, you know, starting in June, we talk about a lot of the regions of the world, but we look forward to, you know, spending another year with you all here on Downtown. It's been a lot of fun for us. And, of course I do want to mention that we, at Bangor Wine and Cheese do have monthly tastings. We're of course having one this month, which will be on the 18th, which is the third Thursday. That is the traditional day, the 18th from 5 to 7 p.m. Theme to be decided, but it's usually cellar defenders, things like that. We've all spent all of our money and perhaps more than our fair share of money on toys and more toys and earrings. And if you're like Rich, perhaps saving up to insulate your house further, because we've all certainly figured out just how cold our houses can be over the past week. So we'll figure out some really, actually I tried three today that are definitely gonna be part of it. Absolutely killer wines, all under, you know, 15, 20 bucks. So come on in on the 18th from 5 to 7 and every third Thursday for our monthly tastings, and join us here every Tuesday, just like last year. We'll be doing it because we're all glutton for punishment.
This, by the way, is delightful.
By the way, I forgot. Yes, this is the Descendantes, I can't speak, the Palacios Petalos. So this is a Mencia done by Alvaro Palacios and his nephew in the region of Mencia. It's kind of like Pinot Noir-esque in its body, but it's totally much more floral. It's like violet and things like that. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's like 23 bucks. It's totally worth it. This is, if you would spend 25 bucks on a good Pinot Noir or a good wine from Piedmont, this is absolutely right in that price range and quality level. So do check that out. The Petalos from Palacios.
Very good.
And we'll see you next week.
You got it. Thank you, Eric.